on the Mount, and this is the New Testament battle plan that Jesus gives us for the spiritual battle that we're in. And so we're in chapter 7 of Matthew, and we are up to verses 21 through 23. Shall I? No. Shelly reminded me that since we're going to this ordination and we won't be back in time, we're not going to have men's and ladies' Bible study tonight, and so that's going to be canceled, but we will still be having the evening service at 6 o'clock. So as you open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, we've been in chapter 7 noticing that at the beginning, Jesus gave us this expression about not trying to judge others. Don't try to be their judge. Don't be the one who brings down condemnation or tries to decide what their punishment should be. He reminds us that if we have a need, we should ask God. We should ask, we should seek, we should knock. All of these are the continual state of doing those things. He reminded us as well that the golden rule is something we should live by. That whatever we would want men to do to us, that's what we should do for them. And this kind of sums up the law and the prophets. He tells us about the narrow gate and the wide gate. So if we start to notice, Jesus is going through a teaching right now where he's showing us these opposites. Okay? That there's only two choices. You got the narrow gate, you got the wide gate, right? He doesn't say there's any other gates in between, does he? Have you noticed that? What does the world say? It says the world keeps trying to tell us that there's many different ways. And all of these different ways lead us to the same place. Have you guys ever hear that, or am I the only one who hears that? In fact, they've got all kinds of New Age religions and all these different things that are trying to tell us that even Islam worships the exact same God that we worship. Now, I'm going to tell you, there is only one true living God. And so for that, I would kind of see where they might be trying to come from. But guys, I'm going to tell you something. They do not worship the same God. Because if you look at their description of who Allah is, he's much different than the God that we worship. I mean, for one, our God is expressed in three persons, the Trinity, right? Makes our God very, very distinguishable and very unique in all of the other expressions of God in the world. So we can see that not all of these different ways are leading to the same place. And Jesus even tells us that the way that leads where we want to go is narrow. It's pressing. It's going to feel like it's getting tighter and smaller even as we go. And so we need to understand, guys, that not all ways are leading to the same place. If we also look there in verse 13, don't worry, we're building up to the verses that we're going to be reading today. But if we look in verse 13, he says that wide is the gate in the latter part of that verse, that and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are how many? Many who go in by it. You know, we need to understand something, guys. Popular opinion and polls ain't going to get us into heaven. You know, the majority of the people are rejecting the only way that leads to eternal life. So we've got to understand this. Popular opinion is not going to get us into heaven. And he says, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way that leads to life, and there are few who find it. So there's few who find it. We also learned about false prophets, and how we can tell a false prophet is by the fruit. And so there again, we see a juxtaposition or opposite thing going on there. There's two. You got good prophets and you got false prophets. You're going to be able to tell them by their fruit. Now, let's read verses 21 through 23. If I could have everybody stand up for this, please, for the reading of God's word today. In so doing, we are saying that we are submitting ourselves to God today in the reading of his word. This is for me. In verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Oh, dear Father in heaven, I pray that not one person in this room will hear those words. Lord, please help us to understand what you mean by this and to know how we can know for sure that we won't hear those words. Lord, please instruct our hearts today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all can have a seat. Thank you for standing. I just want you to know that you've heard me quote these verses if you've heard me preach very often, because these are the very verses that called me into the ministry. God had shown me so many years ago that there are going to be many, because if we read how broad is the way of those who miss the narrow way, it's very broad, and there's many who find the wrong way. Okay? And in this, as well, when we jump forward, he says that not everyone who says to him, Lord, Lord, are going to enter the kingdom of heaven. And then in verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, look at all that I have done for you. Guys, I never knew you. Those are the four words that none of us ever want to hear when we stand before Jesus. Amen. We want to hear something more like, well done, good and faithful servant. Amen? Enter into the place that I've prepared for you. That's what we want to hear. So when we look at, you know, we look at salvation, and we'll go to a lot of people, and maybe as witnesses, we try to talk to them about the Lord, and we'll ask them the question. You know, we ask a lot of people if they know Jesus, don't we? And, you know, hopefully you try to open up dialogue between you and others. But a lot of times that's a way that we'll ask people, do you know Jesus? But you know what really seems most important by this verse is whether or not Jesus knows us, right? Whether or not he knows you. Whether or not he knows me. Okay? Because I can say that I know Jesus, and all these many who are saying, Lord, Lord, think that they know Jesus, right? That's the picture that we're getting here. But the real issue is whether or not Jesus knows them. Whether or not Jesus knows me, whether or not Jesus knows you. So this needs to be what we really focus in on. And so this really begs the question, when we think about this, this begs the question, how can I know for sure? Because I don't know about the rest of you guys, but I don't want to be just living a lie and thinking that I got something, and then you go right up to that very day whenever you stand before Christ and you find out that you were wrong. I mean, really. This is like the worst possible scenario that we can think of, because, guys, at that point, there's not going to be any change in things. And so either Jesus knows you or he doesn't know you. Either he knows me or he doesn't know me. How can I know for sure? And I think that the answer comes from the same way that we can know a false prophet. How do we know a false prophet from a good prophet, from a true prophet? By their fruit. And so we're going to be able to know whether or not we are really a Christian as well by our fruit, by the fruit we see in our own life. So today is not the day to look at your neighbor and try to decide where they are by what kind of fruit you see in their life. Today is an inner reflection. I want to look at my own fruit. I'm going to be my own fruit inspector today. I want to see what is growing on my tree. Because, guys, it's just like Jesus said, you don't pick figs from thorn bushes, do you? Okay? You don't pick peaches from blackberry briars. In fact, I don't even pick peaches from my peach tree. Because I got bad peach trees. And I don't want to be that kind of Christian tree, right? Where I think I'm a Christian, but I'm not bearing any fruit. I need to be bearing some fruit, and I need to be able to tell what that fruit is. Because the fruit's going to tell what kind of tree it is. Okay? And so the same way that we look at to see if a person's a false prophet or not, is the same way that we're going to be able to look inwardly and see how we're doing with Christ, so we can know for sure, because I want you to be able to know for sure. And the Bible says that you can know for sure. And so I can preach that with confidence today. So let's think about this verse 23 that we just read. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Do you notice something there? Just kind of a little footnote. He doesn't say that, he's not saying that they lost their salvation. The wording that he uses is, I never knew you. That is very reassuring to me. I don't know if that's reassuring to you. It should be. Because that's telling me Jesus doesn't claim somebody and then throw them to the side. Okay? He does not. It's not totally just dependent on our works either, but our fruit should be an indication of whether or not he ever has really truly known us. And if he knows us, then he's never going to just let us go. Because we find in this statement, what he says to those is, I never knew you. Not, I knew you once, and then I don't know you anymore. So praise God for that. Amen. Can I get a praise the Lord? Once Jesus knows us, he's always going to know us. And so that's a very reassuring thing to me. Okay. And so what we're going to do now, okay, we're talking about this fruit. And we notice that one of the main characteristics that he's showing us here in verse 23 is that those who don't know him are practicing lawlessness. Lawlessness. So what is lawlessness? Not really submitting to the law that's over us. I think that that's a very good way just to simply put it, just in a nutshell. A lack of submission to the authority over us. Who is the authority over a Christian? What is it that we declare? God is our authority, right? Lord Jesus. Okay? By declaring Jesus as our Lord, we are declaring that Jesus is our boss, our king. That's what the word Lord there means. Okay? And so we don't serve under a king nowadays in our country, so sometimes this can be kind of an abstract or an obscure thought. And so it can be a little hard for us because we think we're the bottom line. It's a government of the people, by the people, for the people. And so that's what we really connect with. But boy, guys, what we need to understand is we are putting Jesus in kingship over our life. Okay? He becomes our absolute boss. And so when we put ourselves under his authority, then we will cease to be one of lawlessness. And so we need to look at our life and just see how are we doing at this. So we're just going to look at 1 John real quick, because this is the book that tells us without a doubt that we can know. So I want you to turn in your Bibles to 1 John, starting at chapter 1 there. And we're going to take a look at that together just a little bit. We're not probably going to read every one of these verses, but I do have these verses outlined by their verse numbers. And so for the ones that we either don't read or you want to look at more extensively, please don't be afraid to jot these down. If you don't get them jotted down, I will make you a copy of these verse numbers so that you can take home, or you can just read the whole book of 1 John and you'll get it all anyways, because this letter is very important, guys. This is the letter that tells us that we can know. Say praise the Lord, because I want to be able to know. Amen? All right, so let's look here at 1 John. And let's look at some of these descriptions of what kind of fruit is going to be growing on a believer and what kind of fruit is going to be bad fruit and indicate that maybe we have a problem there. In chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, it says that a believer is going to walk in the light. So let's just look at those verses real quick. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from sin, from all sin. Praise God. Amen. So we can know that that's an indication that we are in Christ if we're walking in the light. If we continue to walk in the darkness, we continue to hide from God, I think is what this is an indication of. We continue to do deeds we don't want seen on a regular basis without repenting, and we've got a problem. We need to ask ourselves, what is our problem? Okay, the second characteristic here that I think we're going to see in every believer, and true, we may not do these perfectly, but this needs to be the main thrust of our life, okay? This needs to be the main direction of our life, to be on that narrow way, that pressing way, is we need to confess our sins regularly. Can I get an amen to that? We need to confess our sins regularly. He goes on in verses 8. And 8 through 10 there, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Oh my goodness, those are such strong words that John is using here, the Holy Spirit through John. And so we want to say praise the Lord that if we'll confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us, amen, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But what we need to make sure we're not doing is sitting back saying, boy, I'm glad I'm not a sinner like all those other people. I'm glad I'm just almost perfect. We're actually making God a liar because God's already told us we are sinners, amen. But to actually be willing to confess that sin is showing our humility before God. And so we need to be confessing our sins regularly. That is a distinguishing quality of every believer. Another one is to keep His commandments, walking as Jesus walked. If we jump down to chapter 2, verses 3 through 7, now by this we know that we know Him. You see these words, know? Not hope, think, maybe, sort of, but know. By this we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He who says, I know Him and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in Him. He who says he abides in Him ought himself also to walk just as He walked. Man, I tell you, I was preparing for this message, and I went to see my grandma the other day on Friday. And my grandma's 92. She has got, most of you know Nanny, my grandma. Man, she's got a sharp mind. And she was telling us stories about how whenever she used to walk to high school, and she lived up in the mountains in West Virginia, and they get snow up there, and it lasts all winter long. And the snow, whenever it snows, it just snows on top of snow, and it snows on top of snow, and it just keeps getting deeper. And she talked about how whenever she used to walk down to the bus, it was a couple miles just to catch a bus. And then she'd ride on into the nearest town that had a high school, and that she would walk in her daddy's footsteps. It was really a cool story, and I've heard it before, but I just love to hear her tell it. And I hate the days coming when I may not be able to hear her tell that story, but I love to hear that story. My grandma, I don't know if you ever noticed, and don't tell her that I pointed this out, but she walks kind of pigeon-toed. And they used to always joke with her and tell her, you walk in your daddy's footsteps, and you'll begin to walk more like him. Because his footsteps were in the snow, and her boots and weren't as good as his, and so she would step in his footsteps so that she wouldn't get all the snow. And she couldn't even remember for sure what kind of shoes she wore, but he worked outside all day, so I know he had good boots. And so she would try to walk in his footsteps, and he wasn't pigeon-toed, so whenever she had to put her feet in his, she was trying to learn to walk more like her daddy. And you see the significance of that, guys. The longer we walk with Jesus, hopefully the more we're going to learn to just do it as second nature to be more like Him. And that's the call to every Christian, is to be more like Jesus every day. And man, I don't know about you guys, but whenever I look at myself, I say, man, I still got so far to go. But guys, I can't give up now. I just need to keep walking on down the road with Him, walking in His footsteps, walking as He walks, doing what He does. What does Jesus do? He does what He's always done before. What was Jesus doing whenever He had His 3-year ministry? Man, He was right there with the people that are hurting, the people who are needing, the people who are hungry, and He was there trying to feed them and love them in the name of Christ so that they would then follow Him and know that He loves them. That's what we need to be doing. The more we do it, the more like Jesus that we become, the more we can see the fruit of salvation in our life. Another thing that we see is that we love our brothers. And we look at verses 9 and 10. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded him. So man, we can see this one, guys. If we say we love God, that means we got to love our brother too. We got to show it by the way we love our brother. If we hate our brother, we're actually showing that we don't love God. So another one that a Christian is always going to have this distinguishing characteristic is that they don't love the world. They don't love the world and the things of the world. Now, this doesn't mean that they don't love the world's people, okay? You notice I capitalized the W in world because this speaks of the world's way of doing things, the world's systems, Who is it who has some limited authority in this world? Satan, the enemy, right? Jesus himself called him the prince of this world. Okay? He said that it was the time for the prince of the world to come, but he had nothing in Jesus. And so he couldn't sway Jesus. And so we need to make up our mind right now, guys. If we're going to love Jesus with all our heart, we're going to follow Jesus, and we got to give up our love for the world. And he expresses that in verses 15 and 16. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Do we get an amen? I want to abide forever. And so I've got to reject this world's way of doing things and embrace God's way of doing things. Here's another one. The Holy Spirit, if I'm a Christian, the Holy Spirit lives in me. We look at 2:27. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, it is and is true and is not a lie. And just as it is has taught you, you will abide in him. That anointing of the Holy Spirit upon us. I think it's so cool whenever, you ever notice sometimes the thing that I'm going to be preaching on, you'll see other places. And the thing that God's really bringing before you in your daily reading, you'll hear about it on the radio and stuff like that. It's the Holy Spirit. He's working in you, and he's working in others, and he's bringing the teaching that you need. I noticed today, we're going to be talking about the fruit of the Spirit at the end of this sermon. I'm just giving you a little heads up. And I noticed Julian sent out something about the fruit of the Spirit on her Facebook this morning that just really blessed my heart. It reminded me, yes, we're hearing from God. This is the Holy Spirit working in us. Another one, we're going to abide in Christ. This comes from verses 28 and 29. And then, the world doesn't know me. If we go to the next part of the list there, Rebecca, the world doesn't know me. We're going to be a stranger in this world. Chapter 3, verse 1. And I'll just go ahead and read that one real quick. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Another one. I'm going to purify myself. Verses 2 and 3 there of chapter 3. Behold, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. We will purify ourselves. Another one, we cannot continue in unrepentant sin. It talks about that in verses 4 through 8. And then I have to have experienced rebirth. It talks about that in verse 9. Whoever has been born of God does not sin. For his seed, God's seed, remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. I read that one especially because people get confused by that. Where it says he cannot sin, it means he cannot continue in unrepentant sin. Once God's seed lives in us, the Holy Spirit is in us, he's not going to let one of his children walk away and enjoy the pleasures of sin anymore. You see an unrepentant son or daughter of God, you're going to see the most miserable person in this world. Because, guys, the world doesn't know us anymore. We may be trying to work its part and work in with it and trying to walk away from God. I can tell you, don't go that route. Once Jesus has claim on us, that seed is in us. We better get all the way in his boat. Otherwise, we're going to wind up falling in the water and we're going to be all wet. And we're going to be really miserable. And I don't want any of us to be experiencing that. So we need to really experience that rebirth. We need to really live this new man out. Because Jesus' seed, that Holy Spirit, is in us. He shows his love through generosity as well. That's going to be a marked characteristic of a Christian. We're going to want to be generous. We're going to show our love that way. We see that in verses 16 through 18. And this is it, guys. We're going to believe in and love Jesus and the Father. And we can see that all the way down in chapter 5, verse 1. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. Whoever loves Jesus is going to love the Father, and whoever loves the Father is loving Jesus as well, because they're one, and the love of God is what we're going to be expressing throughout all the eons of time to come in heaven someday. Someone that says, man, heaven just, you know, it's just really, I don't know that I really want to be there. Guys, I'm afraid for some, maybe they haven't experienced the love of God yet. Because once we've experienced the love of God, we're not sure what it's going to look like. We're not totally sure, but we know we can trust God. So I want you all to read through 1 John. I want you to look at some more of those verses. There's a lot more there than what I put in there. But guys, I just want to give you a little taste for a self-evaluation, a self-examination, because I don't want us to hear those words, I never knew you. I never knew you. So let's just kind of bring it down to boil it down to something we can fit our minds around here this morning. Does your life have the fruit of the Spirit? Because basically all these verses is talking about rebirth, this new seed in us, the Holy Spirit living in me. The Holy Spirit's not going to live in me without some fruit. Okay? He's going to be showing off His fruit in our lives. So before we actually get to the fruit of the Spirit and the description of them, I want to read Ephesians 1:13-14. In Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. Guys, here's the deal. If you believe in Jesus, if you are a child of God, you do. It is necessary that you have the Holy Spirit living in you. It's not an optional thing. Well, I'm a believer, but I don't have the Holy Spirit in me. No. Guys, it isn't even possible, because the Scripture is telling us plainly that whenever you come into belief in Jesus Christ, true saving faith, the Holy Spirit comes to you, comes in you, seals you, guarantees you that day of heaven will come. You should be able to know that the Holy Spirit lives in you. It's just like whenever I bought a house, they made me put a down payment on the house. What was that down payment for? It was promising I'm going to come back and pay the rest. And it was a sizable down payment, right? Wasn't something that I was just going to forget. God don't forget Himself in you. You see, He's living in you personally, and it's a marked seal that is there forever to claim you for Him, and then He's going to take you into heaven with Him. He is claiming you. He is sealing you with this. So what is this going to look like? Well, first question I want to ask is, do these expressions of the fruit of the Spirit describe my life? Does it describe your life? If you were to try to just, you know, to look at your life and say, okay, I'm going to try to describe my life by my actions or by the fruit that is being played out in me, would these be the list that you would pick? We're going to go through this list here, and this is the last scripture that we're going to end on, because I really want this just to kind of go home and stay in my heart. There's going to be one thing I'm going to point out to you as well with this, as we read this, but the fruit of the Spirit. Did you notice that there's not an S? Fruits? It's not fruits. You know why that's important? Because we don't get to pick and choose this list. Fruit. There's one fruit, and this is what's going to have in it. Okay? And so, yes, believer, brother, sister, we should be able to see all of these in some way, shape, or form in our life. And I understand, none of us are perfect. We all got room to grow. We're going to see some of the acts of sinful nature come out sometimes. But remember that issue of repentance? A real believer is going to repent of those. And we're going to use this as our guide, guys. We're going to look at that fruit of the Spirit, meaning all of these are going to accompany Him when He moves in. Okay? And then we're going to see, is this what's coming out of my life? So let's read them together. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. You see, guys, we don't have to live by the law anymore. If we just let the fruit of the Spirit live through us, we are exempt from the law. Because we're not even going to be wanting to break it anymore. You see, when we're doing these, this is what we're living by, is the fruit of the one who lives in us. Praise God. We can have a little taste of heaven even before we get there. Because you see, when we live these out, these are not burdensome. They seem like it sometimes because we want to do things by the old fleshly way of doing things. Well, let me ask you something. How much good did doing things by the flesh ever give you? Like, let's just take one for instance, an outburst of wrath. Has anybody else here ever been given to those? No, you never have? Is anybody a liar? We all are in some way. Okay. No, I mean, like, I'm thinking of some of my outbursts of wrath. I hate to even tell this. One time I had this piece of trim, and I just was having the hardest time making this piece of trim fit, and finally I'd had enough of that piece of trim, and I just took that thing, and I just broke it. I broke it into a whole bunch of pieces. And you know what I wound up having to do? It was the only piece of trim I had like that. And I couldn't buy another one. I had to actually remake that thing from scratch. It did me no good. You know what I'm saying? Have you ever done something like that? You know? Like, I saw a guy's car one time, and I'm not 100% sure it was him that did it, but there was a perfect fist mark right in the door. Now, I want you to think about that. Every time that guy went and got in that car, if he made that fist mark, not only was his fist hurting for a while, but every time he would open the door of his car, he had to look at his work, his handiwork. You know what I'm saying? That outburst of wrath was all over it. You know? Boy, I could tell you some stories. Well, I'll tell you one more. Maybe you can relate to this one. I worked on this transmission until way late at night trying to get it out of a Ford one time. This is why I quit driving Fords for the longest time. Okay? I got another one, and I'm praying it don't go so bad. But anyway, there was these bolts, and I just couldn't get these crossmember bolts out. And I worked and worked and worked and worked and worked, and it was like 1 o'clock in the morning. So my fingers were bloody, and everything was all messed up, and I still was working on them old rusty bolts. And so I went walking away from that truck, broke, busted, and disgusted. And there was a big old rock I tripped over in the driveway. Well, y'all kind of can get the rest of this picture. I needed to throw that rock out of the driveway. And so I turned around and I threw that rock in the bed of my truck. Well, seems simple enough, right? But I had a spare tire laying in the bed of my truck. And it bounced off the spare tire, went through the back window, landed on the dash, and broke the windshield. So what did I get out of that outburst of wrath? And yet, to this day, guys, whenever I get mad, that old self tries to come out. But you see, that old way of doing things never brought me any good. I got family who are damaged by my outburst of wrath, feelings that are hurt. You know, I can put a new windshield in my truck, but I can't put a new heart in my wife. You see, that old way of doing things never did me any good. Somehow it always promises, but it never delivers. But man, whenever I practice these, they're without a burden at the end. I never feel guilty for doing these. Never have a mess to clean up because I was too kind. I've never had a mess to clean up because of long suffering. Never. I've never been too good. And I've never been too faithful. I've never been too gentle and suffered because I was too gentle. And I've never had too much self-control. You see, every time I've ever practiced them, always brought blessing, and it always indicates, yes, the Holy Spirit does live in me. Because it's very unnatural for me to be that way. I get one amen in the house today, I'm sure. At least one. It's very unnatural for me to show these. And I remember the day after I got saved, I started seeing some of these things unnaturally happening to me, and I said, man, something happened. It's like, this ain't me. But let's ask God to help these to flourish. Now, if you're not sure if the Holy Spirit lives in you, I want you to come to this altar today and ask God to make sure that the Holy Spirit lives in you by surrendering your heart to Jesus. Maybe you've already done it. Maybe all it's doing is just nailing it down for sure. But it sure ain't going to hurt. Just to surrender everything to Jesus and say, here I am, Lord. I think I've made you my Lord before, but I want to make sure that you're the Lord of my life. Please live out through me your ways. Maybe you've never done that before and you realize today if you stood before Jesus, he's going to say, away from me. I never knew you. Man, that's a scary thought because there ain't no remedy. Don't wait till then. Let's do it today. But let's make sure when you leave this place, you can know it and know it for sure. Let's live out the works of the Holy Spirit through our lives. Let's pray. Dear Father, I just pray for this congregation, Lord. I thank you so much for them. And Lord, I made a solemn vow to you whenever I answered the call to ministry that I would do everything in my power to try to make sure by aid of the Holy Spirit that nobody under the voice of the teaching of God that you give me, that nobody will hear these words on the day they stand before you. God, that would be my prayer. Lord, that you would show it to us today, even if it breaks us, that we don't know you, so that we can get right with you. God, offer us your kindness and your goodness and your mercy today, your grace, that we might come into a relationship with you. Lord, if we already have that relationship, then I praise God with them today that we have that. Now, Lord, help us to live out the fruit of the Spirit in everything that we do so we can see you living in us and others can see you living in us. Oh, Lord, help us to be more like Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all rise.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am and ready not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. I come just as I am, though talked about with many a conflict, with many a doubt, findings within and fear without, O Lamb of God. Blind, sad, rich, and feeling of the mind. Nay, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb, O God, I come, I come, just as I am. Will receive, will welcome pardon, cleanse, relief, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come,
amen. I'm glad we went that one more verse because, guys, that was the verse I was thinking of, the words I was thinking of. I got the best news for you. No matter where you stand with God right now, even if this sermon just helped you to realize that, wow, that ain't what I see happening in my life, that ain't what I see flowing out of my life, Jesus promised that if anybody comes to Him, He will not turn them away.
Amen.
I think that's cause for us to celebrate a little bit. Amen. Praise God. Thy pardon we will receive. And it's in His promise that we believe. Amen. God has never broken a promise, and He's not going to start now. So we can be thankful for that. Praise God. Has anybody got a birthday today they want to celebrate?
We do have one, I know.
All right. So, you guys ever notice how we got the pencils and we got the box, and sometimes when people have a birthday, they put money in a box? Do you know what we're doing there? JD tried to tell everybody that we were helping him go to lunch, but that wasn't true. He was only joking. That box is for the Missouri Baptist Children's Home, and that is a special offering that we take up throughout the year. Whatever we receive on birthday offerings that goes into that box will get sent to the Missouri Baptist Children's Home to help children, who, and also now they help women and children that are being trafficked. They help women. They have a ladies' shelter as well. You know, a lot of times when women decide to have their baby, their husbands and boyfriends throw them out of the house, and they tell them they can't come back unless they do what they say, so they give them a shelter to live in. They have got so many wonderful ministries, and it's all gospel-centered, and everything has to do with Jesus Christ and pointing them to salvation. And we get to celebrate that and support that through our birthday offerings. So, no matter what you may have heard, it's not helping JD go out to lunch today.
That's right. It's not helping me go to McDonald's.
Okay.
All right. Emily, how old are you?
12.
Happy birthday. I'm not asking.
75.
All right. Anything you'd like to say?
I just want to thank the Lord for a long life.
Amen. We'd like to thank Him for healing you and you being here. All right, let's go. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Lord bless you and keep you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Only one will not do. Born again means salvation. How many have you? Happy birthday.